But as we go from mandate, there's almost an automatic development of a sense of mission. Mission, according to what translation you use, in some of the translations, it's not mentioned at all. And in some of the newer translations, it's mentioned just in a very few places in the Bible. But just being human beings, we develop, when we understand what we are designed to do, we begin to develop an idea of how to move forward from that and what we have to do. And I want to just pull in some thinking this morning as we go into that, that the mandate that was set before us was to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth and to subdue it. Now, I think somewhere in that, there's kind of, in my heart anyway, I realized that means I'm going to have to do something. And I'm going to have to get moving here, because right now, I'm filling the earth more as time goes on, but that's probably not what he's talking about. And as far as subduing the culture around us, which means to learn how it works and work it, well, we're all doing that somewhat, but we haven't gotten exactly where we need. But the umbrella over that was, God says, now have dominion. Understand that God is giving you this authority. He's giving you this ability. He's giving you what you need to rule, to have dominion on the earth. And I'm not at all talking about some way that some people talk about rule, but he said, now, I want you to have dominion, but here's where I want you to have dominion. I want you to have it over the fish, over the birds, and over living things, never mentioning mankind. He has dominion over us. I don't have dominion over you. And I really feel sorry for people that want to have dominion over other men, because it's a hard road. Because there's something built into us that says, I'm not going to let you rule me. You ever notice that? Yeah. But there's also something in me that says, but God, I'll let him rule me. I need to figure out what that is. But I'll let him rule me. I can submit to him. So, I don't know about your mind, but as I consider these things, my mind goes through some antics as I work through this idea of mandate. It's almost as if his mind interrupts my thought patterns, and I'm reminded constantly that I have the mind of Christ in me, not because all these brilliant decisions I'm making, but because all this resistance that's inside of me to these not so brilliant decisions I make. Now, you might not experience that, but I find that when I take charge, I don't do that well. But when I let him take charge, he does pretty good. It's almost like he designed us or something. Now, when I began to embrace the idea of Almighty God breathing into me, and that he provides the breath that I breathe, a very source of life to his own creation, the trust that he puts in us is almost overwhelming. That this power of God is available to us, and you say, well, I don't know about the power of God. Life, if you're living, then the power of God is available to you. I'm not saying you're using it well. I'm not saying that you've submitted to it, but it's available to you. And then as I realize and start to submit, I think now God has the ability to go before me and prepare the way so that when I get to where he has decided I should go, that I'll be successful in that. But probably even greater than my mind is he has the ability to come behind me and repair some of the serious damage that I've done as I've moved forward in my own ability, my own thoughts, my own will, my own way, sometimes destroying the very relationships that he set in my pathway. He comes back and he'll repair that and still be going before me, still have a guard over me, Because after all, he is all, he fills all, he's in all, so he does all those things. Amazing, as I begin to embrace the mind, the mindset that this is happening and I can be somehow at peace in all of that and be relaxed in all of that and realize it's more about life and living than it is about a prophetic vision or a prophetic goal. Let it settle in a minute. More about living in the breath of the moment and responding well in that than it is about anything else. And then he hits me with his willingness because he has taken up residence in me. Now he's willing to work out from me. And he's not asking me to do anything for him. He's pretty well equipped. He's just saying, I'll let you participate in this if you'll just let me work forth from you and touch your world. Sobering, isn't it? Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption and into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Let me work with a couple of things there. First of all, remember what the glory is. You talk about a word that has suffered from etymology, that word has suffered. But the glory is simply that when God approves of you, that his power comes to you and he works with you and out from you, and everything that comes out of the glory is because God can't approve of you without generating himself toward you. So the glory is he likes you. He approves of you. And there's a freedom when we understand that God likes you. Think of the freedom. The freedom that all of creation is looking, longing, groaning, waiting for us to recognize that God likes us and wants to work out from us and in us and change us, and that he likes the person sitting next to you. He likes the person sitting across the room. He even likes a few of those folks outside the walls here. He likes you. Ask yourself this question. What if Jesus coming and dwelling among us and giving up his life, what if that wasn't about sin, but was about his liking us? That he recognized sin as a condition and recognized that condition must be resolved, but he came to us because he likes us and wants to see us be what we can be, and we can't do it as long as we have that condition of sin. And that it was resolved on the cross, but the reason he came was to solve a problem that was established way back in the Garden of Eden, and that's a disconnect from God. He came to reconnect you. And if you're reconnected, that sin condition will take care of itself as you walk with him and connect with him and move with him. I know how much doctrine that causes to scream on the inside of you, but the truth is, that's what the Bible teaches. Now, we sense the struggle that develops inside of us because our mind, we really, in spite of our resistance to have anybody control us, we still seem to want that lazy, do this, do that, do this, don't do that existence. We want somebody to say, you don't have to go into the presence of God and learn to hear him. We want people to say, I'll hear him for you and then I'll tell you what to do. And then we reserve the right to be offended when that person that we sent into his presence to hear for us tells us what they think they've heard. Guess what? What they were hearing was for them. It probably wasn't for you anyway. But to know the difference, you have to cultivate what it is to go into his presence and hear him Not talk at him, not yell at him, not not do prearranged, preset things and the vain repetition, but to go into his presence and hear him and respond to him and actually commune with him. We have that responsibility, and this will cause your mind to start to settle in, realizing that, yeah, we do have the mind of Christ in us. It's always been there. And we've not responded to it. We've instead responded out from ourselves. And that the longing of creation, you know, there's the things that Sandra mentioned and then Chelsea mentioned. I'll mention them again later. I still love the way that word works out that Sandra was working with. But I want to work for just a moment with the longing of creation. I done the background study this past week and was looking at this over and over again, because what I was seeing was so important that if you were to put that in just common terms, it's like someone that's waiting on somebody to say what was necessary, somebody to do what was necessary. And the very base meaning is the stretching forth of the body toward that thing. But what really boggled my mind is it was talking about the longing of creation, and that creation, the word that's creation there, you can't separate the creation and the creator. It's like God is looking at you, waiting with his head stretched forward, waiting for you to get it, waiting for you to respond to him. And the creation around you, your children, let's not put it to the trees and all of that stuff. Let's put it to people. Your children are looking to you, waiting for you to respond as a child of God, as a son, as a daughter in the house, waiting for you to respond as one that's responding out of the blessing of God. They're not behaving because you're not responding out of the heart of God. I can't force you to do what the demons in my mind want you to do. But if I'll just forget about those and let the voice of God speak and begin to live my life out of that voice of God, you will find that you're longing to hear what God is doing through me, what God is doing through you. And that your children, your grandchildren, they might seem on the natural to be resisting everything you have to say, but stop and think. Are you trying to control them, or are you speaking forth out of that life of God that's in you? Not the rules and the regulations, but the giving praise, as the song was saying, giving it forth and praising and worshiping and letting them know that our God has worth even in this situation, no matter how awful it might be. Now, the word that Sander was working with revealed it's separated, departure, cessation, completion, reversal. And just realize that we're given a mandate to be a creature that is apart, that has realized that now God is separating us. He wants to bring forth on the earth a different kind of human being. Almost immediately in the life of Christ, he was separated away from those that had only studied in the synagogue, those that only followed the rules. He was separated from that, and he began to actually break some of the rules and began to do things a lot different than anybody else done them, but not on purpose, just because he was following God, and he began to understand who he was. And so we separated, but not only part of repentance is not just a separation, but a departure. And not only am I separated from that life, but I don't want to go back there. I don't know about you, but I lived pretty rough before I got saved. And there's a part of me that don't want to go back there. Some people, I hear them say, well, I'm battling all the time, trying to keep from going back. No! There's something in me that cries out, no, 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 I don't want to go back there. That's the life of God. I don't want to go back to what it feels like to be separated from Him. I don't want to go back to not being able to sleep at night because I got the echoes of the preaching that it might have not been exactly what God was saying, but there was enough of the anointing of God on it that it echoed in my unsaved mind. That if I die tonight, I'm in trouble. Then another part of me didn't really care if I died or not, and then I really was in trouble, and I don't want to go back there. There's a part of me that has departed from that and ceased to exist in that world. Folks, we need to put a headstone on the past.
Man, I get tired of people talking about all the things they used to do and just glorifying that old life and calling it testimony. Come on, what your testimony is what did God do on you 2 minutes ago? What did God say to you this morning? How did God help you in deliverance yesterday? That's your testimony. Quit wallowing in that stuff and laughing about it and saying, no, you should have seen me, how mean I was. Come on. Don't go back there. Cease. Put a headstone on that. Here rests what I used to be or whatever. Understand, that's not the way that you move on, that there's got to be something revealed in you and you begin to move toward something of a completion. Realize that you were born into the kingdom of God and now you're growing and maturing and becoming somebody. We've got to start thinking differently. I'm not going to point it out in any recognizable fashion, but I was reading something this past week that just magnified to me what it means to start to tell your children that there's nothing really wrong. It's just what you decide to do as long as you tack Jesus onto it. Come on. Get real. We need to live before our children a life that is separated and that old life has ceased and we don't go back and glorify it, but we start looking ahead to what it is to be a mature man or woman of God and come on, get over the pain of the past. Get over the hurt that's back there. Quit stirring that thing up and in God, leave it behind and move forward into something that's real. I'm sorry, Sandra, I'm preaching your message over again. Realizing that God will bring such a complete work in you that you'll look at your own life and realize what a reversal there's been. And you realize that scripture is true. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that's in me is living. And it looks completely different than anybody ever thought it would look. But that's exactly what's happening on the inside of me. That's all still on mandate, and I'm going to shift to mission here for a little while. Mission is really just to produce the kingdom of God in this city through family living in the authority of God. I readily recognize producing the kingdom of God in this city might mean for some of you that at some point you will go to another city. That too will help the world around you to see the kingdom of God. Folks, we got to understand our mission is not to produce the best athletes, not to produce the best musicians, the best dancers, the best scholars, but to be this new human that God has wanted to put throughout the earth. And to be that. You might do all of those things. You might be an athlete. You might be a musician. You might be a scholar. You might be all of those things. But that's not the goal. That's a side effect from having the mind of Christ in you. I'm guaranteeing you, if you'll listen to Him and you're a musician, you'll learn to play notes that's not yet been played. You'll learn to do music that's not yet been done. You'll learn to sing in ways that's never been sung. Why? Because there is a sound that is in the heart of God that He wants to bring forth on this earth, and it's the sound of a new human being. It's the sound of one that's going forth in a newly created way and doing some things, but just realize that the way before you is already finished. Fulfillment is already finished. You just got to get in line with it and move ahead in it and realize what God is doing. Now, the problem is when God comes and indwells us, takes up residence in us, He don't just sit in there waiting for you to get it. In a lot of our theology, you think about that, and especially in modern theology, that we would have that kind of God. He would be sitting in the easy chair in your heart. Yeah, we'd probably make it a throne because we've lied to ourselves and said that He sits on the throne of our heart. Most of the time we sit there and we haven't given it up yet. But, and we see Him sitting there just kind of, boy, if they'll ever get it. No, He don't do that. He takes up residence. He gets in there and He begins to live big inside of you. He begins to do something in your very innermost being, and that causes you problems if you're not submitting to Him. He don't just sit there. He's applying pressure on you to allow Him to be what you agreed He could be when you got saved. Oh Lord, I'm such a sinner. Come and change my life. Guess what? He came, and He's changing your life. He ruined you for the sinning business. Before you could do it and have so much fun and be so relaxed in it. Amen. But now you're just a mess. Why? Because He's not going to sit there and twiddle His thumbs. He's going to push from the inside out. He's going to put pressure on you, and all of the psychiatrists and psychologists is going to have names for that pressure. But guess what? His name is above every name. And He'll put pressure on that thing until you finally give over and realize that if I want to be all I can be, I'm going to have to listen to what's going on in here. I'm going to have to listen to this God that's on the inside of me. Otherwise, I'm just going to be a mess all my life. How many raise your hand and say, I'm going to be a mess all my life? You're too honest, Paul. I'm telling you, God will help you. But I'm with Paul. I'm probably going to be a mess all my life. But it's going to be His mess. I've determined that. And as near as I can understand it, I'm going to move forward with Him. But our Father wants this local body to bring forth His kingdom in the earth, not a replica of some other faction of the church. That's why I'm so highly resistant to people coming in and saying, we're going to take a look and tell you what you're doing wrong. No, don't do that. You can come here and bring what God has said. You can come here and bring a blessing. But don't come here telling us what we're doing wrong. We already know that. God is faithful on the inside of us to push us and twist us and bend us. And just put, he makes you miserable sometimes. I love Him, but man, He makes me miserable sometimes. But God wants the people of this city, in this economy, to begin to illustrate what it is on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom come. His will be done. Not someday somewhere. Not in some gold mansion out there somewhere. I don't want one of those. And I'm not promised one in the real scripture, I'm telling you. I'm sorry if I destroyed your retirement, but it's not really there. But His kingdom come. His will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. Through you, through others that are pursuing His will and His way. You see, God wants us, He don't want us to spend our time studying on what the end times will look like. He don't want us buying books so we can practice yelling at devils. And how many times have you heard somebody yell and bind Satan? Guess what? That's already been done. Jesus kind of went to the bowels of earth and took care of that. I'm telling you, we need to quit that stuff and begin to understand what it is that's going on in us and begin to work with that. That's our mission, is to begin to let people around us see and live life with authority of being confident that the kingdom has arrived and that we're working out from that and that we present ourselves to the creation around us, not as this great authority figure, but hey, I'm connected to God and I'm going to hear Him. It may take me a while. I might make a lot of mistakes in the meantime, but my behavior is not connected so much to your behavior as it is to His voice. And I really don't want my wife to be like me. I'm sorry, folks. I kind of really like the fact that she's different from me. And that she don't think like I think all the time. Sometimes I really want her to, and that causes problems. Sometimes she really wants me to think like her, and that causes problems. But when we both begin to think like God, guess what? The problems go away. Because He wants her to be like she is up to this point. He's going to be changing her, but up to this point, And he wants me to be like I am. I'm a little more difficult to change, but he'll get that done too. I'm one of those that he points out, you're a stubborn and stiff-necked man. But that's how God works. Now, have you ever taken notice of your own mind's willingness and tendency to go to the worst-case scenario? Church is being dismissed, and somebody is across the room, and you wave, and they act like they didn't even see you and go walking out. Your mind will immediately think, what are they mad about? What did I do? Or they think they're better than me. They didn't listen to what I said last time, so they're probably mad. I just stay away. Do you think that's God? But even though it might be a little exaggerated, isn't that what we do? The most likely something completely different happened. They probably didn't even see you. Because a lot of times when you leave this house, you leave deep in the dealings of God with the Holy Spirit talking to you, and he's going to talk to you for hours, sometimes days after that. And a lot of times, it seems like folks might just be focused on just getting out the door. Now, I don't know if they're hungry or if they're just getting out of this pressure, this presence. I don't know. But sometimes it seems like they're just focused on getting out the door. Most of the time, they'll be wrestling with their own thinking and trying to adjust to this pressure on the inside of them that happens. And sometimes they'll just now be realizing that they need the help of brothers and sisters to get the fullness of the reveal of God. Let me help you right here. You're never going to get the fullness of God's reveal until you're friends with other people, deep friends, that you can talk with each other, commune with each other. And you got to adjust to what you think of as gossip. Gossip is interaction with the desire to tear someone down or to expose something in someone that God's not exposing. But just communicating relationally is not gossip. You hear me? Among people who care, gossip takes a back seat. Well, I don't want anybody knowing. Why not? They're going to know anyway. What makes you think you can hide all that? Because I believe one of the translations says that we are naked before him with whom we have to do. That brings up some thoughts, don't it? So in your mind, connected with Christ, I want you to just go on a mental journey with me for a few moments. Remember that Abraham was searching for a city. The city its builder and maker was God. Zechariah writes about that same city. He says it's a city without walls. And he says that God himself says, I'll be a wall of fire about her and I'll be the glory within her. Let me read to you what the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 12, beginning 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. I want you to focus on these statements. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the church. Now, I'm not one that exalts the church out of its place. I want you to know that right away. We exalt our Savior. We exalt our Father. And He builds His church. And we just work with that. I just want to emphasize that. But you've not come into somebody, some group that has a fellowship with darkness. But you've come to walk and to live in the light. You are dealing day by day, not just in a Sunday service, but day by day, you're dealing among your friends and your relationships with spirits of righteous men and women. Not perfect. The scripture didn't say perfect, but it says being made perfect. Now, That word really is kind of an unfortunate translation. It's used over and over again in the translations because it does have those perfect connotations. But the reality of the word is mature. That you are surrounded by spirits of people that are coming into maturity, being made mature. That person that walks out and doesn't respond when you wave across the building, or sometimes doesn't even respond when you walk directly up to them. That person most likely is deep in the dealings of God and didn't even think about somebody waving or somebody wanting to start a conversation. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I know God is really trying to tell me something, I get alone. I go walk. I go do something. I sometimes go fish. I do something to get alone with God so I can, I mean, there's enough clutter in my mind without getting the clutter in your mind in there too. And no, maybe your mind's not cluttered, but mine is sometimes. If they are ignoring you, if it's likely because there is a spirit of God, a manifestation of the Spirit in your life that's causing them conviction, and they just don't want to deal with that right now. And that really should be okay with you. So, come on, let's do this little exercise with me. Psalm 48, 12 through 14, walk about Zion. We just read scripture that talked about the Zion as the city of God, as the church. Go around her, count her towers, consider her ramparts, go through her palaces, that you may tell it to the next generation, for such is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us into all truth. Now I'm going to talk about people that might or might not be here this morning, but I want you to just go around with me. I don't see Phyllis. She normally sits over here. She's probably downstairs teaching children. It's what she does. But this... let's stop by on this journey and just take a look at Phyllis Blankenship for a few moments. Her life every day is full of pain. You see it when she walks, but do you see it when you talk to her? Nope. She just loves God. And she so wants that next generation to know God in the way that she knows Him, that she often overextends her own physical abilities to make sure kids are taken care of. I've often wished we could afford to install an elevator in this church just for Phyllis, so she didn't have to manipulate those stairs up and down. But go a little further and take a look in this corner room on Wednesdays. There'll be some of the ladies here from church, and no, I'm not going to beat up the men because they don't come. Now, no, I'm going to do that at all, so don't draw up. I thought I saw a couple of guys flinch. I'm not there either. But there's some of the ladies from here and some other ladies from around the city that gather right in there on Wednesdays, and they just talk to God about the church. They talk to God about personal difficulties in the church, about personal difficulties in their own families, the strength of Almighty God. Many of the things that we have happen in this place that changes people's lives happen right over there before it ever happens where anybody can see it. Think about the sometimes 10s, 20s, 30 more people that check in on Facebook every morning to see what prayer requests are listed there on that Facebook site, and they begin early in the morning to pray, and off and on all day they pray about those things. And we see things happen like Rhonda's mother getting a clean bill of health. We see that happening, and we realize that that happened somewhere in God. It didn't happen anywhere besides people just day by day refusing to be denied, refusing to do anything else. And I'll tell you again, on our little journey, go by and see Betty and Marion sometime and just sit down and talk. I think, I'm telling you that Betty probably lives a life more full of pain than most anybody I know. But you go over there and you'll leave encouraged. Why? Not because she's so full of faith statements, but because with resolve she says, I believe God has spoken to me and I'm waiting on God. And you leave there just saying, oh yeah. There's something in that. There's something in that faithfulness. There's something in that declaration. Listen as we worship to the voices that sound out all over this building of people worshiping their God. Come on, walk about Zion, count her towers. This is the mission. That we go forth and we see what people, what is happening in people's life. I'm not interested much in what is bad in your life. But I'm so interested in what God is doing in your life because I need it, you need it. And just something as simple as several men, I didn't even count, I could probably count them if I wanted to, I don't want to. But several men showed up. So on Saturday morning, they could have been doing other things, but we needed some work done on the building. We got it done. They got it done. I watched mostly. It's amazing that just doing what God called them to do, just doing what they wanted to do because of who they were. And others that just have the strength of the Almighty. I thought of Ellen and I thought of Ashley, how they deal with people. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Sometimes the most difficult of people to deal with, Ashley, is people that want to be beautiful. And they expect something from you sometimes that you just can't quite give. But you spend every day of your life trying and doing the best you can do with what you have to do with. And that's a demonstration of the kingdom of God, just faithfulness. That yes, this is what God has put in my heart. This is how I'm fulfilling it. And, but you get to interact with people that guys like me will never interact with because they won't let me in their life, but they let you in their life because they're confident you can make them beautiful and you do a good job, both of you. But guess what? That gives them an inroad. That's the kingdom. That's the way it works. In your normal day-to-day job, you might be just a worker. And when I say just a worker, that's the way the culture puts it. But if you're a faithful worker, you're more than just a worker. You're a worker representing the kingdom of God wherever you are. It's not about the amount of money. It might be flipping burgers at McDonald's, but if you do it faithfully. I was amazed. A niece of mine went to work for McDonald's at one point to fill in the family income. And the reports that she brought out of there of how foul and how perverse that culture was and how she had to remind people over and over again that she was happily married and that she wasn't interested in their nonsense and that it wasn't just one location. It was a whole subculture that was invested in drugs and foul living. I was amazed. Who would have thought it? And you might have said, well, I knew that all the time. Well, I didn't. It shocked me. But she was there, and whoever is there can be there, and they can decide, are they going to let that culture take them, or are they going to realize that there's a work of God in me trying to come out? And it doesn't take me preaching to these people. It takes me just being who I am and answering questions and saying what God directs me to say. And as I do that, God is going to breathe forth through me and something's going to happen in their lives. Folks, this is the mission. Many of you will never set foot on foreign soil and most of you are very happy about that. And that's okay. I'll do it. But the truth is that I'm getting to the place where it's just pretty nice to be in Kirksville. I mean, I know that people talk about how dangerous it's getting in Kirksville, and I'm thinking, not yet. I've been in dangerous, this ain't it. But folks, God wants you to present that work of Christ that's in you. And if you'll start to submit to that, you'll start to experience peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Peace, and that you're no longer resisting that voice, that life that's on the inside of you. Righteousness, that's right relationship, not just with God, but with men. That you begin to do not what is right, but what is righteous. And if you do what's righteous, it'll be right in your life. And I don't know if I can overstate this or not, but God wants you to relax and serve Him. Because a major portion of what God wants to do in mission is to show the world around them that they don't have to live this hyped up, chasing after something all the time lifestyle.
I haven't stopped to count them, but I've met many, many people that have given their life to getting wealthy and in the end accomplished it and found it empty. Nothing there. They're not satisfied. They're not happy. In the meantime, they forgot what's important. Family, relationships, and to be what God has called us to be. The church is not the kingdom. But God chose to give us the church so that we could be kingdom, so that we could be a part of his kingdom. And if there's anything you get from this message today, I want you to get that God is speaking on the inside of you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. And I can confirm that. I can even ask you questions that'll help to direct that. But in the end, I can't do it for you. Because just as God is calling forth a different kind of human being, he's calling forth different kinds of church leaders than we've had in the past as well. And it's very hard to resist the old cultural tug that as a church pastor, I should visit everybody, I should do this, I should do that, I should do something else. It's very hard to resist that, but peace comes when I do resist it. Because let me tell you something, if you're at home, physically ill and calling out to God, and anybody in this house visits you or calls you or contacts you, you're being pastored. You hear me? If you hear somebody from this pulpit that brings to you a message directly from the heart of God, you're being pastored. And we need to begin to relax the demands that we're making of other people. And the way you start that is allow God to relax the demands you're making of yourself. The issues are not this rule, that rule, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is right, that's right. That's not the issue. The issue is what brings life to you. What brings light to the community around you. When you get those things right, then guess what? All the rules will be taken care of. Quit trying to send Moses to hear God and come on up to the mountain and hear him yourself. Now, we're going to have Moses visiting with us one of these days soon. I'll have to tell him I've prepared the way. Of course, I'm sure he expects that I have. But don't talk to the generation about your wild fears, about your apprehension, your depression, your oppression, your ideas of how unfair the world is, how unfair the church is. That's not the conversation. The conversation is walk about Zion, count her towers, look at her ramparts, see the fortress that God himself has put up, and begin to look at that. Look at the miracles right here. I know probably more about most of your testimonies than other people do, but folks, I'm telling you, there's miracles among us. Folks, what I'm trying to get you to see is the emphasis is that you are in the cycle of becoming perfect, if you want to put it in English, but really, you're becoming mature. And when God points to you, he'll be saying, this is my son, this is my daughter, these are mine. This is the one that follows me when I ask him to and listens to me when I'm not asking him to do anything else. This is the one that rests when I tell him to rest. This is the one that runs when I tell him to run. This is the one. They have understood that this is not a democracy, but this is a theocracy and that I'm in charge. And when they understand that, then they're free to be all that they can be as I lead them and guide them and speak to them. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. Yeah. Father, thank you. Thank you for mission, and that mission is so easy, God. It's just learning to hear you and to let you express through me, and that in that I'll find life. Oh, God, if we could just understand that everything is upheld by the word of your being, nothing else. God, help us to focus on what you focus on. Help us to love who you love. Help us to do what you ask us to do, but God, most of all, help us to experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because in this is the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In your presence, all